Call this meeting to order. Good afternoon, everyone. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you. We do have a quorum. All five are here. Mr. Carmel, any report from closed session?
Thank you, Mr. President. The board discussed the performance of the acting general manager and continued to discuss the recruitment of the general manager.
Okay, thank you. Look at the agenda. Is there any additions or corrections that anybody would like to make to the agenda or anything? No? Okay, good. All right, public safety. Commander Manuel was unaware of this meeting, so he may be either late or may not be able to make it here. So let's go to Chief Hollingsworth, please.
Good afternoon, Board. I think we're on now. It's good to see you today. For the month of February, we had a total of 86 emergency responses. We're kind of back down to the normal call volume compared to what was happening in the previous month through the storms. 46 of those were emergency medical aids. There was a higher number of hazardous situations, and that's a category that's specific to trees down, trees into power lines on the ground, creating things that can arc and create fires and other damage. All of that is to be said that those did occur. However, we've had relatively little infrastructure damage to either CCSD properties, public right-of-ways, or homes themselves. There were a couple that were hit by trees, which happens all the time, but we've also had years where dozens of homes have been destroyed, and so we're pretty happy and blessed that did not occur. We're holding it around 87% versus 13% in regards to local and non-local care of patients as they come in through the community. This last month, there was a big focus on building construction type training for the personnel. As you know, that we're under a lot of federal and state mandates in regards to what they have to update on every year. It's about 200 hours of training minimum from everything from OSHA to state fire marshal and other agencies. And so we split that up as time allows. So this last month, there was a huge focus on building construction review, forcible entry, and search and rescue. And the reason that's important is because if you're in a situation where your house is compromised, either from a disaster, tree going down, fire, the basic knowledge of all that is what's going to get our personnel in there to help people and get them out. So that's why we do those things. Quick update on the grants is that you know that we have two existing NOIs out for fuel reduction programs in the community. We're in the middle of finalizing the sub-applications to Cal OES for that. We hope to have those done within the next couple of weeks. We also have an additional HMGP grant that's open secondary to another emergency, and we're looking at filing with President Pearson and some of those with the Fire Safe Council in coordination with Cal Poly an evacuation plan for the community. And we mentioned we're starting to look at that. We got funding through the Fire Safe Council through San Luis Obispo to do some test work in the community, and this grant is to actually do the overlay for the entire area. So that would be a huge benefit to us because it's going to give us groundwork as we make future applications for grant funding and or fundamental decisions that dictate how we make roads or new roads or widen roads or anything in that regard. And regarding the AFG grant, we still are in a waiting pattern. That's the federal grant from Assistance to Firefighters. And again, with the federal shutdowns, everything's on significant delay. So we'll let you know as soon as we hear back from anything there. You asked last month for the information. You had some questions about the insurance in some cases being dropped. I'm happy to tell you that Haley was able to get the FireWise community certification on the website. That's available for anybody to view and download. There's not a guarantee that that's going to give you any kind of a reduction in cost, but there are some agencies, some insurance companies out there that do it. So please feel free to go look at that and reference it. And I would encourage everybody to solicit their own insurance company to see if it's something that they can actually benefit from. The last thing for you is that we're in the middle of a reserve firefighter hiring right now. Through attrition, we've lost a handful of people over the last year, and that's something that we are very successful in, as we bring people in, train them to a very marketable element in that reserve program, and then for some reason they want full-time employment. So they keep looking for that and move on. It affords us the possibility to bring in young, eager people that are really looking to get involved in this business. There is a significant cost savings in doing so, but we have to kind of keep the door open and cycling through people. So we have a test that's actually starting tomorrow. So you might see some people around town doing some different fundamental training exercises in the community, and over the next few weeks we're going to be seeing if we can bring an additional handful into the ranks. Other than that, I'm over to you for any questions.
Anyone? There was a significant windstorm the other day, brought down some lines and stuff. You guys were on top of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just as a note, Alan Peters yesterday at the Fire Safe Focus meeting said that if one of those trees comes down, the best thing to do is to chop it up into 4-foot sections at least. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there could be a flurry of insects that come out and march across and start invading other trees and stuff.
Right.
So if a dead or dying tree goes down, it's best to cut it up as soon as possible. So,
yeah, we attempt to do that. It kind of depends on where the tree falls and what's being hampered in the process, whether or not it gets turned over to county roads, or whether or not we open it up right away because it's a main access part for part of the community. When we do, we try to leave them in the same type sections, just get them off the roadways, and then county roads will come in and after the fact. But there can absolutely be a problem with infestation, and that's why they try to aggressively bring it to take care of those when they come down.
Great, thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to thank you for your follow-up with the fire insurance and, yeah, and home insurance thing, so that people can have that advantage if they can take advantage.
Hopefully that will benefit many more within the community.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Commander Manuelli. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Michael Manuelli, Commander, Sheriff's Coast Station. I would have been here earlier, but I stopped to handle a call for service. So today I have your report for the month of February. For Cambria, there were 283 calls for service compared to 293 the previous year, down about 3%. Those calls for service compare with Avila Beach, 70 calls for service, Cayucas, 137 calls for service, Los Osos, 534, and San Simeon, 55. From those calls for service, there were 31 reports generated compared to 24 from the previous year, approximately a 29% increase. Just a note, the Coast Station handled 1,811 calls for service in February and generated 703 reports. If we look at some of those reports, there were 5 calls for service regarding assault and battery, generating 4 reports. We had one victim that was punched in the face, broken nose. It occurred in a different location, not in Cambria, and she just called from this location. The others were domestic violence related. There were 13 calls for service regarding disturbances. 3 of those resulted in reports. We had public intoxication, landlord-tenant dispute, and a disturbance call. We contacted the subject, ended up being a DUI investigation, which we turned over to the California Highway Patrol. There were no burglaries. 3 calls for service regarding thefts. 2 of those, theft of 2 batteries from a solar site here in town, then theft of yard art decorations. No vandalisms, no mail thefts, a couple of phone scams, and 12 suspicious circumstances. One of those 12 generated a report of a vehicle in the area of a construction site. Deputies responded, located that vehicle, ended up arresting the subject for drug-related charges. Just notable is we have two new deputies finishing the field training program, and they will be staying at the Coast Station and work in these areas. And that's my report.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for the commander? No? Okay. Thank you very much,
Thank
sir.
You. Have a good week.
All right. Next, the PROS report, Mr. Johansson.
Thank you. The PROS Commission is currently considering or has considered the and made a recommendation for the schoolhouse in the area where the former dog park was. We've got some reservations about this, everything temporary sooner or later grows a foundation and sits in place due to gravity. So we're thinking it probably needs a longer range look at it to make sure that if it falls into place, it doesn't sort of take up the space of any future options that you might have for the area, as well as not be too large, but make the footprint very, very minimal with future considerations so that it won't all of a sudden have a new surprise every week. Other things in the PROS are the consideration of the next phase of the park, East Ranch, and what was appropriate to go in there. So we're just kind of looking at the landscape in the future needs of what we consider the play fields. They're kind of a problem area, if anything, as far as cost, equipment, and so forth. So all those are being rehashed. We have a egress-ingress problem on the road that heads south out of the East Ranch. It's sort of the community escape route, or that was one of the concepts, but it was essentially Piney Road. It was a trail. Piney Road is a abandoned road by the county, but still public land until it reaches a certain point. And then we have two private parcels to cross. So we don't have, we have a sewer easement, but not a trail easement per se. So it's just kind of a question of what we will do. And we vaguely pursue it, but without a great deal of guidance, since we really haven't got a director there, kind of handling the issue. So that's just a concern at this time. And I would say that we are looking and considering an overall bicycle commuter trail, commuter trails to lead to downtown from parts of the community, and taking advantage of whatever parcels may be available in the future that haven't been built on at this time. Other than that, any questions? That pretty much concludes it.
Yes, thank you for your report. What I'd like to do is on the schoolhouse, they're trying to move forward as soon as possible. So if we could now go ahead and form a ad hoc committee to meet with Mr. Barringer and the Historical Society and try to hammer out the covenants and stuff, that would be helpful to them. So does anyone volunteer to be on that ad hoc committee?
Yeah, I'd actually really enjoy doing that. I've been involved with the Historical Society for a long time and attended the meeting that they had with the Planning Department last week. So I'm all for it.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Volunteer? No? You don't have enough to do, or you do have enough to do? You have room for one more? So, okay, Director Howell and Vice President Farmer will be the ad hoc committee to meet with you and Mr. Barringer. Does Mr. Carmel need to go to the initial meetings, or are you going to just review it when they get done?
I think it's probably better that they meet without me.
Yes. Well, he holds the podium, I guess, so if he wants to relinquish it to you, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Thank you. As a public comment, wasn't on the agenda in the PROS Commission meeting, I mentioned the fact that the bike share program that was started by Gail Jenkins of A Matter of Taste, and the Cowan and the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce got a substantial amount of money from the infrastructure grant from the county, and it's been over a year. And the Cambria Tourism Board kicked in $10,000, and some hotels have kicked in substantial sums to get this bike share program going. It's not the racks. It's the bike share program. You take an app, you unlock the bike from a rack, you then travel to wherever. One of the spots was the skate park that the Pros Commission had actually approved, and Carlos continues to support. And another one is going to be by the Bicycle Kitchen, and one was going to be at Pacific Premier Bank, but they backed out at the last minute. So an alternative spot could be the Pocket Park, so that you could have different places, two places on East Village, two places on West Village, and one is already scheduled to be in front of the Castle Inn on Moonstone Beach Drive. But it's been such a long time in getting these contracts approved, and you have to sign a lease, essentially, a private person or a company. So if at your next meeting, if you could put on the agenda to address those easements or those contracts, and I think District Council is already working on those, it would be very valuable. So if you can get that, because otherwise what's happening is it'll be another winter before we get these things installed. So,
yep.
So anyway, if you can help us on that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
And any questions on that?
Mr. Carmel, have you looked at generating some kind of an agreement with these people?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And the word is that they have a blanket one that's really strict, but they'll take anything. They just come up with our own, and they won't take anything. But they just need something, some signature on the line that says, yeah, this is where it's going to be. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I had a question for clarification on this. Mr. Behringer, I'm a little unclear. We're talking about not just bike racks, but where these shareable bicycles will be
stored. Shareable bicycles, yes.
Correct?
There's 25 bicycles, and they're going to be, you unlock it from a rack. I think the first hour is free. Then you start clocking, and then when you put it back in another rack anywhere, there is another rack, your time is up and you get charged for that amount. All the liability is handled by a third-party company called Zagster. They repair the bikes. They replace them after 2 years. They'll move them around, so if there's not a good balance of bikes at any one location, they'll redo it. It's kind of a infant program for us. Four racks will probably be good for us because we're a very small community. It's not only for visitors, it's for anybody around town. If you wanted to go from Moonstone Beach to the Pock Park, you could. And another CCHC is considering that as a possible location there too. But if we have if we have the skate park and the pocket park, and one gets moved around, that's okay too.
Thank you.
If I can ask, has Zagster approached the county with regard to this program?
Oh, the county sent them a check, or the chamber sent them a check.
Have they approached the county? Because they'll probably need some county approvals in order to do it.
I don't know. We'll work on that. You're right. It's not our responsibility, is
right.
it? Okay. We'll get that going.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. On to public comment. First up would be Ms. Heinrichs, followed by Ms. Bettenhausen.
Good afternoon. I asked the board to bring its attention to a paragraph in the Acting General Manager's report regarding the meeting with Cannon Engineering to repurpose the brine impoundment pond. The board was not notified of this meeting, which concerned the $3.5 million problem pond, now also the subject of a lawsuit. A meeting with a contractor regarding repurposing of this problem facility without board oversight is not acceptable. In another communication regarding a public records request on this subject, Ms. Modrig inexplicably says, "It is my misstatement that the impoundment basin is part of the SWF. If it isn't part of the SWF, what's it doing out there in the first place?" Ms. Modrig notes that the $11,885 estimate for the contractor's proposal and conceptual options and cost estimates is within the general manager's purchasing discretion amount of $25,000. This amount was accorded to the previous general manager, who bullied the board into unapproved expenditures and financial problems. The $25,000 limit is now cited as justification for allowing a meeting of concern to the board to take place outside the board's purview. As she notes, this pond and its use within environmentally sensitive habitat area is subject to concern by the Coastal Commission. It is also under management orders from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The board should have been notified of a meeting to solicit repurposing plans from an engineering firm. I ask the board to consider reducing the general manager's discretionary spending limit to $5,000 to assure that the board's guidance is invited to any future services that require expenditure of more than that amount. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm just delighted to be here, with one exception. It's hotter than the proverbial Hades in this room. At least from my skin temperature, that's the case. Within my family, I am always hotter than one of my close relatives who's always colder. And this is a democratic procedure process, which I urge you to take up soon, about the temperature of this room. But I put it in the larger context. Some months ago, I wrote to you, and some years ago to a prior board, asking consideration of how you aesthetically and environmentally and in terms of physiological comfort do this room when you have meetings. This is not a congenial space. This is rather a proverbial, metaphorically appropriate space in many ways. I ask you to read those letters, please. I won't take up your important time today by rehearsing what I've written twice before. But I would add one more comment that's not on the agenda either, unfortunately. But it gives me the opportunity to wish you absolute best wishes as you try to figure out what in the world is up with this district, including bike racks. I got my first bicycle, Bluebird, in second grade, and you can guess it, audaciously I admit, straight A's was the prerequisite. I love biking, although I can't do it anymore physiologically because I'd tip over and hurt people. But I really ask you to start figuring out careful procedures as a board, Mr. President, for dealing with more issues than show up when I cook a leftovers casserole, which are a whole lot. You've got way so much on your agenda that I just shudder at whether you're getting any sleep, five directors plus the overworked staff. We are informed again today that they are overworked. And I see no clarity on the ranking of your priorities in procedure, policy, or regular business. I wish that you would have a retreat that wasn't covered by the Brown Act, and you'd all go out on a nice boat on a day when the swells are exactly half a foot, the sunshine is mitigated by your sunscreen, and you would all sit there as five members of the board, nobody else, nobody else. And you would get agreement among yourselves if it takes all day into sunset. You would get agreement among yourselves as to what it is you're doing and why. And that includes what is it you want to do, not what is, as I told you in January, not is what is dumped on you from the past, but what is it you want this board to do? And I, as a ratepayer, as a person who's paid some careful attention on and off during the 17 years that I've been doing it, I care. And I will speak specifically to some issues later. But this community needs leadership, even, oh, I can't compare it to the swamp, but I'm tempted. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on.
President Pearson?
Yes.
Can we get the heat turned down? Because I'm actually quite warm, too. I don't know how others are feeling.
Can we open this door over here and
thank you.
Maybe a window in the back, and maybe we can get some cross ventilation going?
Thank you.
Front door? There you go. He's going to open the door back there, too. All right, there is an exhaust fan here, but if we turn that on, you'll never be able to hear anything we say. That will help. All right, we're to board member and committee and liaison reports. I'd like to start with the Finance Committee. Have you anything to report?
Heads up that our next meeting is Tuesday the 26th at 10 o'clock. The ad hoc committees have provided a draft mission statement, draft goals and objectives that we'll be going over with it on that meeting. And I'm expecting also that we'd be able to have the bylaws, which are in process of being worked on now, available in draft form to be able to be looked at by the committee as a whole on the 26th. Additionally, the ad hoc that was formed to interact with the staff regarding the formats of budget alignment with the 218 data met with staff, and staff will be attending the meeting on the 26th to provide information and format of the discussion and decisions that were made relative to that, and I believe populated with some data also so that it would be available for point of reference. That's it for me.
Okay, very good. One thing I would like to remind all of the standing committees about is that some of the goals that we came up with at our meeting back in January were assigned to some of the committees, and I'd like to make sure that you're looking at those. There was an additional one that I thought about for the Finance Committee, and that's trying to figure out where we can get some money for ranch maintenance instead of taking it out of the tax revenue that we have. So if you guys can look at adding that maybe to your goals. Thank you. Policy Standing Committee report.
I don't have much to report. We haven't had a meeting since the last time when I asked for some clarification on what the board wanted for the committee to be tackling in terms of our focus. So I'm going to cut my report short other than say that we do have an item on the agenda regarding replacing one of the committee members who unfortunately had to resign, and that's later in the agenda. So,
okay, very good. Thank you. On to Resources and Infrastructure Standing Committee report.
We haven't had a meeting since our last meeting is actually next week, Tuesday at 3 o'clock for anyone who's interested in attending. We will be looking at some draft bylaws at that time. We will also be setting up some ad hoc committees to deal with goals and mission statements, so we'll commence working a little more on that. The previous meeting was largely just to get started and get ramped up. We'll have our full membership at this current meeting. One of our members couldn't make it to the last one because of such short notice, but now that we have a good schedule. I think that's all that I need to say at the moment on that. We will be looking, we're trying to broaden our scope a little bit. The item which is of most importance right now is to get started on the what's needed to prepare the next annual budget, the 1920 budget. But I'm also hoping that some portion of the committee will be looking a little bit beyond that. So we'll try to set up. The other thing which we will be doing, and I've already discussed it with the wastewater supervisor and with the acting general manager, we will start setting up some tours of both the emergency water facility and also the wastewater facility, and possibly some field trips to view lift stations and wells and such things. And these will be open to the public as well. If we get a fairly decent response, I'd like to see these become a regular thing, that because I think there's enough folks in this town, I think, that could benefit and would find it interesting, if nothing else, but also to have something concrete in mind, because people talk about that plant out there and they don't really know what it is. Half of the town hasn't even seen it, I suspect. So I'm looking forward to it, but I don't have anything really substantive to report at this time.
Okay, very good. The other thing that I thought of for your committee is asset management, trying to find some way maybe this summer to get an intern or something to come in and actually go around and put a number on everything that we've got, and that kind of thing, get started on that at least. Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you.
Anyone else? Yes.
To add on to something, I don't think Director Howe would mind my putting this out there, but he and I also had some preliminary conversations about the opportunity for the Infrastructure Committee and the Finance Committee to meet once we've gotten a little bit down line on the CIP for the 1920 budget. And that seemed to, at least in the initial work that was done for last year's budget, be helpful in being able to move things through and have things understood more readily and quickly. And with there just being a single director on each of the two boards, we can facilitate that without it having to be a special meeting. So we have that in mind also as soon as we've got some better idea of what the timing is in terms of the initial CIP review that they will be making.
Right. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Excellent. That's really good. Other liaison reports. I know that Vice President Farmer has some that he would like to cover for us.
I have no idea how you knew that. So I actually have two Forest Committee updates, since the Forest Committee obviously met in February and they had their March meeting last night. So first, talking with regard to the February meeting, we briefly discussed Gavin Newsom's, our current governor, and his State of the State meeting. And he spoke about the fact that there are 4 billion trees in California, and millions of them, well over 150 million, have died recently due to drought, destructive insects and growth. And so he's allocating $1 million for forest management, including control burns. And so we're hoping or considering or wishing to obtain some grant funding for a forest manager. And I think that was just spoken about with regard to the Fiscalini Ranch. But obviously this has to do with the all of the wooded areas throughout Cambria. It was also brought up that the district needs to address implementing the forest management plan. Maybe need to improve objectives of home lot inspections regarding fire safety, and kind of juggling things between, well, who does what with regard to CAL FIRE and our own local fire department. So those are just some of the things that were discussed at the February meeting. But also someone brought up the fact that they had recently purchased seedlings at a green space event. And they are encouraging people in the community to perhaps do the same, because obviously we've lost a number of trees in our community in recent years due to the drought. And so whether you want to go out in your own yard or you want to go out in the woods and plant a tree and then go out there and water it, that would be a really cool thing to do. With regard to the meeting that happened last night, one of the things that took place was that Claudia Harmon from Beautify Cambria. She's initiating, she's implementing, hoping to implement a dark skies initiative. They recently had a presentation over at the Jocelyn Center, and folks came from Canada as well as Arizona to do presentations on the value of dark skies, which means that having fewer lights, especially in residential areas, in our community as well as businesses, but you know, people leave lights on overnight, or they'll have them shining brightly in the up into the sky, and there's a need to address that, you know, for the health and well-being of not just us individuals, but also the creatures that live in the forest as well. So she's hoping that somehow we can become a dark skies community, and this would be in conjunction with the International Dark Skies Community event. Supervisor Bruce Gibson and the North Coast Advisory Council have already written letters of support, so perhaps the district could do the same. Also, something that came up right near the end of the... So once again, there was a discussion of the three, how could we say it, organizations in this community, the Forest Committee, Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, and Green Space, somehow finding out whatever it is that keeps them apart and kind of reconciling with the idea of somehow hiring a forest manager for our community. And I'll address that when I talk about what happened at the last Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve meeting. So another thing that came up also with regard to Claudia Harmon and Beautify Cambria Association was the idea of having a demonstration garden of native trees and plants and grasses over right across the street here between Rabobank and Cambria Drive. Of course, that property is owned by the CCSD. So we might want to consider working in conjunction with Beautify Cambria and finding some folks that could be helpful, not just in planting the trees but and whatever other vegetation, but also in taking care of them once they're planted. That's probably the biggest problem, who's going to volunteer to go out and water and maintain. And then I know there was one more item that I had here. Oh, so this was brought up towards the end of the meeting. We had a brief discussion about obtaining grants, and I think this was already addressed earlier today, grant by Chief Hollingsworth for grants for an evacuation route study. But what came up is that there is some type of biodegradable fire retardant that one can spray around their yard, and it can actually prevent fire from coming into your area for about 45 minutes. So the idea would be, well, entire neighborhoods, or let's say it should be maybe a community effort. If entire neighborhoods got together, residents got together, and they each said, okay, we're all going to get this fire retardant. So if, in fact, a fire does take place, folks will get out there and spray this retardant and prevent the fire from spreading in their neighborhoods and perhaps throughout the entire community. So perhaps we can make this a community agenda event. So that's, I think that's what I have to say for the two Cambria Forest Committee meetings. With regard to, by the way, for those that are interested in protecting the night sky and less light, the better, because it's good for our mental health. You know, the better you sleep, the less light there is, the better you sleep, the more you can maybe see the stars at night, the healthier human being you will be. Of course, other things enter into that, but that's a start. So there is a brochure. If you want to go to www.darksky.org to find out more about protecting night skies for present and future generations. And that's the International Dark Sky Association. With regard to the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, they had their annual meeting in January, worked out their goals and objectives, and at the meeting in February, they have this pamphlet. And maybe when we get lucky and have our CCSD goals and objectives, we'll do the same thing. But The FFRP has one, and it's very attractive with regard to what was discussed at the last meeting. Sandy Mumper, who is the daughter of Bruce Mumper, who's one of the members of the board and is also on the NCAC, she gave a presentation with regard to the vision statement and the core values as well as the goals and objectives of the FFRP. And so they've talked about environmental ideals and stewardship, a sense of community regarding the environment, and just honesty and integrity and excellence as to how we as a community not just deal with the ranch, but the entire wooded areas. So ranch preservation, also they talked about fundraising, generating revenue, educational program that's going on with the middle school, and those types of things. Also, probably the most important thing that is happening with FFRP right now is they, just like us, and there's one other I can't think of, just like Green Space. Green Space is looking for a new executive director. We're looking for a new general manager. Well, FFRP is in search for a new executive director. Joe Ellen Butler has been the executive director, the only one that FFRP has had, and she's wanting to step down. You know, she's not getting any younger, just like the rest of us. She wants to enjoy the remainder of her life with fewer obligations. So what's going to be happening, the board, and they have 12 members of their board, hoping for a smooth transition in doing this. They'd ultimately like to hire a full-time executive director, but right now, because the salary range is probably going to be a pretty high one ultimately, maybe probably $75,000. So maybe they'll hire someone part-time, ultimately being full-time. They'd want their skills to be ecology, biology, and ranch management. And so what they hope to do is have someone in place by, let's say, the beginning of October or November. They work with Joe Ellen and other members of the board, and then they're good to go, and they're in place by the beginning of January of 2020. Also, another problem that's been happening out on the ranch is that there's been excessive mushroom picking, which is essentially illegal. Individuals have gone out there, groups have gone out there and picked mushrooms that they shouldn't be doing. Obviously, some of them are poisonous, so they're taking a big chance. If you're dumb enough to be doing something you shouldn't be, well, you know, who knows how that process is going to continue. But the main thing is that they're hoping to post more signs. Actually, signs have been torn down about no mushroom picking. They're going to be putting up more signs with regard to that. And some of these are even large groups that we're not going to mention that love going out in the forest and going out in the woods. And they've been, you know, from other areas of our community, of other areas of our county, and they've been doing that. With regard to the wildflower show, don't forget, it's probably going to be about a month from today. It's going to start on the, I believe it's the 13th and the 14th of April, the wildflower show. And so that's just a little bit of heads up on that. They're also going to be designing a new logo that's more readable and user-friendly. And there's one more item here. Let me quickly see if I can find that. And if I can't, I've already talked too much anyway, right? Just one more item. This has been discussed before with regard to encroachments by various residents on both sides of the ranch, mainly both sides of the ranch. And so they are considering, the FFRP is considering, in fact, the decision was unanimous to retain legal counsel to address these issues with regard to the people who are responsible for encroachment onto the ranch. That's it.
Okay, thank you. We do have some, Ms. Bettenhausen would like to address us on this subject.
I have one more thing.
I just want to thank you, Director Farmer. You should not apologize for talking too much, because you are one of the directors who keeps this community fairly well informed on the issues for which you are particularly responsible as a liaison person. But I want to speak to the whole board, Mr. President. I had no idea, and I just better check it, that CCSD owns the land between this street here and the bank. Did I understand that correctly? Mr. President, would you please ask Director Farmer if he actually said that?
I actually did say that, and I believe it's part of the East Ranch. Except for what Rabobank, you know where Rabobank is?
Yeah, I trundle in there about once every 4 years.
I imagine that the county has a right-of-way, some easement there next to the road. True? Is that generally true?
I don't know the details, but I assume the right-of-way is bigger than what you see out there.
Yeah.
Mr. President, I'd make a request that. Then kindly do so, if I may.
Sure.
And that is that on the website for CCSD, we would have a map, an updated, accurate map of what lands in this marvelous urban area covered by CCSD, what lands the CCSD does control, or at least own, if not control, or at least own, if not control, or maintain. I would appreciate that very much. Perhaps it's part of your excellent suggestion about an intern this summer actually looking at the assets of the CCSD. I want to speak to an issue that Director Farmer also just raised. I was not prepared to speak to it now, but we'll speak to it a bit later, about the issue of creatures on the ranch and possible legal action, creatures including the species called Homo pseudosapiens.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, Director Rice.
One really quick thing on the dark skies. When you bring up the dark skies issue, we do have control of the streetlights on Main Street, and I would like to at some point look at whether those should be on 24 during the entire night, or if we can shut them off at a certain time, and what our possibilities are for turning those off. I understand it's a public safety issue, and there were a lot of debates at NCAC when they were first put in about how close they had to be for the light pools to cross, but I would like to see if it was possible for us to have those shut off at a certain point in the evening.
Yes.
Vice President Farmer.
With regard to this particular issue, I think the main concern is, obviously, it would be nice if the lights were off at some point on Main Street. But perhaps one of the most important things is like how these lights shine, and creating a way that the lights just go straight down. And maybe there's a way also of the street lights might be brighter from, let's say, 8 to 10:30 or something, and then they're dimmed down so the remainder of the night until the sun comes up the next morning, they can be there but not nearly as bright in the sky. You know, I remember, us taking up time here, but I still remember when I left the radio station where I was working and drove down Cambria Drive and made the left turn, and it was the first night that the lights were on up where the cookie crock is. And I said, man, there goes the neighborhood. So just my feeling on that issue.
And then I just had one other further report. I wasn't actually in person at the meeting, but the Board of Supervisors did look at the resource management system this past Tuesday, and Supervisor Gibson asked for all of the entities in District 2, that part of the report, to be taken out because there were too many errors or discrepancies. And it looks like they're going to possibly be using a different method going forward for the county to be able to make land use decisions relating to resources in parts of the county where they have the land use authority, like Cambria. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we're probably going to be looking at a very different way of getting that data to the county, and I don't know how that'll shake out, but I thought I'd let you guys know that was going on.
Okay, thank you. Director Howell?
Just a quick question Director Farmer, if I may. If one were to be out on the ranch and observe someone picking mushrooms or doing something else that they probably oughtn't to be doing, I don't think it's not really the public's job to do enforcement, but is there a number or is there some way is there some central authority that can be brought into this if one observes something going on?
Well, I asked that question of one of the FFRP people, and they said if you would just ask them not to do it and remind them that it was illegal to do so. And there's nothing more that they can do either than that, apparently. But, right now we don't have anything. I don't know of anything in our ordinances that address that kind of thing. So if that's something that the FFRP would like us to do, I would ask them to take that to the PROS Commission and get them to consider that. They're having that problem, yeah.
It kind of goes to the whole issue of enforcement on the ranch. Wedding parties that are not permitted, we've seen that happen. Motor vehicles out there, people smoking where they shouldn't be. So there's a whole issue of enforcement on the ranch. And so what I'm hearing is that there really isn't any at this point. Probably.
None that I know of.
And since CSD, are we not responsible for the ranch? Or is this something maybe we ought to be talking about?
We're responsible for the maintenance of the ranch, I'm not sure.
We don't.
I think, it's something that the PROS Commission could address very, very easily. Okay. All right. Okay. Any other liaison reports from anyone?
Normally,
yes,
there would be an NCAC one, but they haven't had their meeting yet, so it'll have to come around on the next month on that one.
Okay. Very good. On to the manager's reports, acting general manager report, Ms. Madrid.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'll just review my general manager's report briefly, and then if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them. So we have been receiving a lot of rain, as I'm sure you all know. The fire department is working on restoring their building. We're continuing to identify safety factors and implement more security for our district. As everybody knows, we did have some assets that were stolen. I will be meeting with the Sheriff's Special Enforcement Detail Officer, Chad Nicholson, to see where we can improve some of our safety practices and systems. We've recently hired a new water operator. David Tracy joins us. He does have experience from multiple other public water agencies, so if you see him around, please be sure to say hi to him. We do utilize the Alternative Work Program, which is a low-risk offenders program through the Sheriff's Department. They help with our fire department, our facilities and resources. So we are also continuing to meet and develop the PG&E grant program, and the final versions of those documents will be taken to the Resources and Infrastructure's next meeting. We did meet with the Finance Committee's ad hoc committee, and we reviewed the budget and the model and took some information from them and shared information. So we'll be bringing the mid-year budget back to the board in April. We also received presentations from two meter companies. One is National Meter, one is Aquametric. They have different capabilities and technology, but it is a good time for us to start looking at those, as we have between 200 and 300 meters whose transmitters no longer work. And unfortunately, we missed the window to purchase those back in August, so they're no longer being manufactured. So we'll be looking at a replacement program and what all of that entails, and doing a cost-benefit analysis for those. And I'm sure we'll be working with the Infrastructure Committee and the Finance Committee as well. We do have the influence screen is almost complete. They're currently waiting on the handrails to be delivered. So once those are delivered, I believe it will be complete. It is able to be operated, but isn't being operated until those last components are installed. I do also have some information about the meeting that Ms. Heinrichs was referencing, but I'll turn that over to Paavo so that he can give a better explanation of what he discussed with Cannon out there.
President Pearson, members of the board, and the public, regarding the meeting with Cannon at the impoundment basin, this is really a follow-up after the feasibility study had been submitted to the county and after we had discussed briefly with staff of the Coastal Commission. And with respect to the public comment, before I kind of get into the bigger explanation, on the repurposing, I'll remind your board and the public that the repurposing of the pond was included in the Supplemental Environmental Impact Report. It's not a new concept that resulted from this Cannon meeting. And with respect to the relationship to the SWF, with the change in disposal to trucking, you know, that impoundment basin is no longer a critical facility of the SWF. And this is all well-known information, but still good for reminders. The concept associated with the pond and the repurposing and being able to store water is certainly one where the then district engineer Bob Gressens was hoping to be able to continue to utilize an asset. It had been constructed and paid for by ratepayers and taxpayers, whether it's through bond money or district money, it doesn't really matter. You know, people have helped pay for that. And so to be able to continue to utilize that asset has a certain amount of validity to it. Understanding, though, that Coastal staff is concerned and continues to be concerned about the impacts of the facility and on ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat areas, is also something that's understandable. And district has to be very conscientious as we move through the process of seeking to obtain a regular coastal development permit. When I first started reviewing the basic infrastructure layouts of the district, I mean, sort of was up 30,000 feet up in the air, it came abundantly clear to me that the opportunities for final design of that facility or to address potential conditions that might mitigate the impacts on ESHA could potentially include concepts that are consistent with stormwater capture facilities and consistent with the state water plan under integrated regional water management planning. That location, where it's at, the overall facilities, you know, along the creeks, in the watershed, is really one of the best opportunities that I've seen in this county to integrate stormwater capture features. And what would the benefit there be? Is that it would change the impoundment basin from an open air basin where sensitive habitat is completely impacted within the fence boundary, and would take concepts where it then uses natural covers in order to store water and yet reestablish ESHA over much of that property. In fact, Cannon did the hydraulic analysis on the impoundment basin and the risks of flooding, so they had already been involved in the district on those calculations. Separately, other work that I've been involved in, they have been very much working in this area under what sometimes is called low-impact development. But those concepts are associated with how do we manage our facilities in a more environmentally friendly manner and still accomplish objectives associated with water supply, ecosystem restoration, water quality. And so that's what the purpose of the meeting was. The idea that staff should have to come to your board for every discussion we might have with a consultant or just to even obtain consultant proposals would be a maneuver that's so bureaucratic that we'd never get our jobs done. But it was certainly based on a very good understanding that I have associated with integrated regional water management planning. In fact, I happen to be the individual who first at the county proposed and helped develop the IRWM programs in this region. So the discussion was, you know, pretty simple and pretty straightforward. The cost proposal is not a significant cost, although we're conscientious about, you know, any money spent. But to me, we can't move forward with a regular coastal development permit if we don't evaluate some of those design, final design, or final mitigation possibilities associated with that facility. Certainly, the concepts are solid. Any of the concepts are going to reduce the storage capability of that facility. And all of the concepts would cost more money. My initial and biggest concern is the cost of, you know, converting the existing facility into a stormwater capture type of facility, is that it could very well be economically infeasible for the district. So one of the things we asked Canon, of course, is to provide cost estimates on the different options, as well as a cost estimate if that impoundment basin was just had to be taken out altogether. Because it's really the difference in those two types of costs, which would be the true fiscal impact on the district. But understanding that these types of efforts are not inexpensive and understanding district's concerns with cost, the other effort that I undertook was to submit to the county a minor modification of the stormwater resource project that Engineer Gressens had already submitted to the county and is included in the draft, or the draft that's being developed of the countywide stormwater resource plan. In that prior project summary, I just modified it slightly to say which may include stormwater capture features. And in doing so, the idea is that when the grant applications come out this summer, or they're targeted for this summer, the State Department of Water Resources has not been hitting their targets super well because of the volume of grant money that they have under their purview. But it's anticipated that grants for stormwater resource projects will come out this summer, and so I submitted a minor modification to the county so that we would make sure that if we see proposals or concepts from Canon that we think are noteworthy and noteworthy to pursue, that we can submit a grant application. Because it could very much, the feasibility of being able to, you know, address design modifications and or mitigation efforts associated with the impoundment basin to help make it more consistent with integrated regional water management planning and more consistent with ecosystem restoration and specifically address ESHA, the fiscal feasibility may very well rest on the ability to get grant funding for that. So the bottom line is we've got the ball rolling on something that's critical for the district to address, and with the completion of the feasibility study, then looking at specifically how that impoundment basin might be utilized in the future, what those options are also within the realm of alternatives that I think really need to be addressed prior to going to the County Planning Commission and ultimately if the regular coastal development permit goes to the Coastal Commission. That these are simply, you know, part of the environment that we're working in today.
Very good, thank you. Ms. Madrid, are you finished with your report, or do you have more to add?
I just have two more things. We do have a possibility of grants available for the meters, so we're looking into that, as well as a grant with the USDA. I'm working on determining how we go about applying.
Okay, very good. We do have public comment request. We'll do that now. Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I will now read to you the questions that your consultant that you hired, Mr. Ogren, has just answered. But I have them all typed out, so why should I leave them silent? I'm asking about the last sentence in that paragraph about the visit out there with the Canon people. And I said, one, is it necessary to submit a PRR to see this revision? I now have learned that it's Mr. Ogren, pardon me for referring by name to staff, who has submitted this revision to a document that I had not seen yet. And so I assume I must submit a PRR in order to see both documents. Two, what specifically does possible grants mean? There's been some clarification that staff is looking into possible grants, so they have no more clarity right now than anybody else does, so it's a possibility. Three, how is it known that, quote, in the last sentence of that whole paragraph, since the overall approach, if feasible, is consistent with integrated regional water management strategies and upcoming grant opportunities. I assume what this means is that according to the consultant you hired, Mr. Ogren, by his experience, he is making this judgment. There was nothing in the general manager's report that indicated who wrote this paragraph. So this is all, I'm very grateful to him for explaining so much of what he apparently wrote. Four, what exactly is meant by, quote, integrated regional water management strategies? That is a biggie. I would like a clear answer to that, not simply in spoken word, but in printed form on the CCSD website and also on your agendas, please. That's point number one. Point number two is the ranch issue. I hope I don't run out of my, I'm going to run out of my 3 minutes. My goodness. The whole ranch issue is now being a major discussion on Facebook because of 14 campsites by persons without interior houses that they can call homes. And I urge you to clarify what is the CCSD responsibility in this regard. Does this come into PROS? Does it come into the management of the ranch by your facility and resources manager? How much responsibility is yours? And I will save you time for taking notes. I'll send this to you when I get home. Okay? Number three. The Finance Committee, I really look forward, that was such an interesting meeting I attended, I really look forward to what it is this new format is going to be for the budget, because it's like a mantra. It keeps getting repeated again and again and again, and if it comes out before the 4th of July, I shall celebrate. It's supposed to be out in April, I know, I've listened to that. I've also been here a lot of years. The wastewater. Will the influence screen be turned on if they no longer have a solution to dispose of that trash collected at the screen? The whole purpose of the screen is to collect the stuff. And according on page 10 of your agenda, there is not yet a way to dispose of the stuff. Well, come on, friends. This is getting tediously repetitive on influence screen. And you know my history there. I won't rehearse it to you. And finally, I won't run out of time here. I'll come up with expenditures on that thing. But the water loss is back above 15%. For 6 months, it ran little below 10%. What is the procedure that CCSD has to check regularly? I just avoided splitting an infinitive. To check regularly on maintenance to prevent water loss. And I'm talking about unaccounted for water, water that's not been billed, but it's come out of the pumps. How do you get a regular procedure going? And I've asked this now for 6 years running in this district to make sure that you are not just letting things happen serendipitously with regard to the water running back, of course, to where it came from, namely the beloved ocean, which gave it to us in the first place. I will bring up the expenditure issue and expenditures. Did you just kindly reset my clock?
No.
Oh, well, then I'll bring it up now and maybe go out and get a coffee. The SWF report has a very interesting description, but it lacks any comment on page 13 about what shows up in expenditures about a particular action. And I want to ask, what is this action? The West Coast Tree Service that we really, I mean, we keep them in business a lot. But we paid them $13,800 in February for an undated invoice, other than that, for SWF impoundment basin solids removal. Now, were these tree trunks? If the tree company was removing, what in the world was it?
No, I can answer that, but I'm going to let staff answer that one. Uh-huh. Are we done?
You aren't done, but I might be.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Ogren, anything you want to readdress there?
Certainly. I don't think a public records request is necessary. If the two documents that are being sought are the original stormwater summary that was provided to the county, as well as my edits, I'd be glad to provide those. With respect to integrated regional water management strategies, really the most efficient way to do it is simply to Google it. I did it real quickly. In a summary here, this is the Wikipedia summary, and you can go to the Department of Water Resources website and everything. But the Integrated Regional Water Management Planning Act was adopted in around 2002 by the state of California, and is a process that promotes bringing together and prioritizing water-related efforts in the region in a systematic way to ensure sustainable water uses, reliable water supplies, better water quality, environmental stewardship, efficient urban development, protection of agriculture, and a strong economy. That's just the lead-in, but certainly simple Google searches will provide a plethora of information on integrated regional water management planning. And the state's grants program pretty much require that you have to take the IRWM approach if you hope to seek any grant funding that's available today. So again, we'll make sure to provide both the original summary on the stormwater project that had been provided to the county from the district, as well as the edits that I submitted recently.
Very good, thank you. Vice President Farmer.
I just wanted to mention, and I hope I'm not revealing something that I shouldn't, but I believe that there's already discussion at the Resources and Infrastructure Committee with regard to setting up either an ad hoc or a subcommittee that is going to be set up to address the opportunities for grant funding and a greater use of water efficiency. So you've just kind of, I guess, lit a bigger fire under our butt there to get going. Thank you.
Very good. Director Rice.
I just have a couple questions on the acting GM's report and then a question to Mr. Ogren. The first is on the meters. It talks about using cellular and that the people that you spoke to said that it would be no problem in this town. Anybody who lives in Cambria probably would find that might not be the case if it uses a cellular network. Some places in this town have zero coverage.
Okay, well, we talked to both companies. I wasn't at the first one, which was National Meter, but they did a pilot program for us about 5 years ago, which some of you are probably aware of, and they came back and they reran that test, and so according to them, there are no dead spots. The second company that we spoke with, they have a different system where they actually own the whatever the system is that they...
The network, whatever.
Yes, the network, and they... So they're able to put up or test to see how many repeaters they need to put out, and those are isolated. Just only their network uses their network, or only their system uses their network. So in Templeton, they use their system, and apparently they go up to the top of the hill. And since they project over miles instead of whatever it is that National Meter does, they're able to collect it from all of their reads from two locations within Templeton.
Okay.
They don't have the cellular. They just have whatever the system is, the other system.
Okay, I just would be wary, and let's make sure if we're going to go that direction with the cellular, because I'm sure that you would get plenty of dropped calls from folks in Cambria trying to call from their home.
Right.
Aquametric. And with all of the terrain, it just is, I know it's a challenge, so.
Aquametric gives you a 98.5% success guarantee.
Wonderful. Then I just had a question with all the rain that we've had. Are the pumps that we have at the west end of town, where they were functioning, did they function as expected? Do you know? I think they're county.
I was going to say, are you talking about the county? As far as I know, they have.
Okay, so we haven't really had that, and that brings me to the other question that I have for Mr. Ogren regarding stormwater management. My understanding is that is something that is not within our authority, that we're part of the county's stormwater management, and it's not something that's specifically our CSD, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
That is also my understanding, is that the county is responsible for drainage and stormwater. The interesting, if you're referring to some of the concepts associated with the impoundment basin, is that that impoundment basin can meet objectives both with stormwater response as well as water supply. So when we look at these types of projects that have multiple benefits, because the district has the water supply jurisdiction, then certainly it can
embark upon those efforts.
Okay, so it ties in together with the water supply.
Correct.
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification.
Thank you. Vice President Farmer.
Thank you. So I'm noticing you're on page 7 of the General Manager's Report, and this issue has already been redressed with regard to the fact that the influence screen is almost complete. That's the wording here. I'm just curious, with regard to the contract that we signed with, I think it's a brew company, that the contract was signed in September, and they were supposed to finish in mid-December, and if they didn't, then they would be penalized, I believe it was $100 a day, until the project was completed. So now it's almost complete, but since it's mid-December, so January, February, so it's 3 months. So I'm wondering how much they're being penalized with regard to how much we're paying them to have done this project. And also, maybe I could get an answer from that first, but also want to mention, so it says here, handrails experienced a delay in delivery from the vendor, so a second vendor has been retained and is now building the handrails. So I'm just wondering who determined who the second vendor would be, what's the cost, who's paying this vendor, and if this has anything to do with the with the influence screen, since it's connected with that in this paragraph, who's paying this second vendor? Is it us or is it Brew Construction?
Okay, it is, I believe, called Bro Construction.
Hey, bro, what's up, babe? I'll remember it that way.
Okay, and they did have to order a second set, if you will, and it's in their contract, so they're paying for it. As far as the penalties, it is $200 a day. Mm-hmm. And I have a meeting scheduled next week so that staff can start reviewing the various details related to that. There are some details that we should probably discuss maybe in closed session.
Okay, thank you. One other thing that was in the manager's report that I've been asked to emphasize a little bit is the work days of April 6th and 7th out at the ranch. The FFRP has gotten a grant, and they've got some conservation workers coming in, 30 of them, and they need 30 volunteers each one of those days. So if you're willing to volunteer and help out on the ranch to remove down material from the forest floor and then to remove some invasive plants and do some replanting along Santa Rosa, please contact the FFRP people and volunteer for that. All right. Anyone else have anything for the manager's report? Mr. Howell?
Thank you. Several questions. For Mr. Ogren, I think. You said that Canon did the, I wasn't clear, did Canon do the original hydrological examinations for the brine pond? Is that what I heard you?
Or perhaps not hydrological, hydraulic.
The hydraulic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hydrological, I'm not sure who did the groundwater evaluations, but with the flooding event that happened a couple years ago where floodwaters overtopped the road and then got into the impoundment basin, Canon did the evaluation of, you know, the continuing risks associated with those types of flooding events.
Good. Thank you. That really helps a lot. Yeah. They're not the folks that originally designed the basin. Okay. Do we know what the basin capacity is? Does anyone know?
I looked at it. You know, sometimes numbers go in and then they go out.
I think somewhere I saw 40 acre feet, but
I think it's between 15 and 20 acre feet. Okay. Of actual impound, yeah, the ability to impound.
I actually had a conversation with Chief Plant Operator Green with regard to how much water could be stored there ultimately, and I believe the figure that he gave was about 2 weeks worth of water for the community. That's what he said.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was correct. One of the concepts is to potentially be able to use that water not directly as a water supply, but in order to help address the environmental mitigation requirements. So store the water, and then in terms of creek flows that are required or some of the discharges at the head of the lagoon, could this be appropriate purpose? Ultimately, those different possibilities of using the water supply are going to have to address water quality requirements and have to address either regulatory purview of the Division of Drinking Water and or the regional board. So there's a couple of different options on how the water might be put to beneficial use.
A few more yet to go, but I perhaps if Director Farmer wants to.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on the pond. But before I do that, I want to say I'm just speaking for myself, but perhaps for the entire board and the community, as to how refreshing it is to have Mr. Ogren here to give us a calm explanation of so many variables that we wouldn't have heard in the past. Plus, I sincerely appreciate the fact that he is on top of the environmental issues and concerns with regard to the project, the facility, and I know that's a concern of many folks in the community. So, Pablo, thank you so much. Or I should say, Mr. Ogren, thank you so much. With regard to, once again, the general manager's report on page 12 under the SWF, it says the district's primary focus for the SWF, or as I would like to call it, the emergency water treatment facility, is to pump out stored RO reject water from the impoundment basin in accordance with the closure plan. Then it says the rain continues to add volume to the pond. So I recently had a conversation with John Rocky at the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and he informed me that since November, the water level at the pond has gone up 1.5 feet. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but it's actually an additional 1 million gallons of diluted effluent that obviously is going to have to be removed from the pond during the decommissioning process. So we can hope that that gets done this summer. Maybe we've got plenty of rain, maybe we'll get plenty of sunshine, help evaporate the pond. But I just thought folks might be interested in knowing how much increase in the water amount that's in the pond has taken place. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Director Howell.
Okay, I don't want to take too much more of the board's time on this, but I do feel constrained to speak a little bit further about the this issue of the brine pond and the goings-on out there. I think, well, first of all, I don't like surprises, and this was a surprise to me. Now, it may be that it's on me to, I need to go back and review the SEIR to see exactly what is being said, because that does represent policy as far as previous boards go, and this board has not changed that at this time. However, I think it would be wise in the future, and I would certainly appreciate it, if these meetings are scheduled and these things are to happen. I think it would be better to let us know in advance, in particular to let the public know. You would be amazed the number of calls I got regarding that meeting, as people are saying, oh, what's going on out there? You know, in this atmosphere of mistrust that we are now working in, I think it's wise to put as much out in front of people as it is possible to do. And if people object, that at least they'll have the opportunity to do it. So that's one point. The other thing is, was the $11,000+ in the budget, or was it not budgeted? And if it was in the budget, I didn't see it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't there. But I'd like to know that it was in fact budgeted.
It's not budgeted. However, we have received approximately $87,000 in sales tax refunds. So that will be in the mid-year budget coming up, and that does go to the SWF.
Got it. Yeah, I understand that. In other words, though, prior to this, what has come out in the general manager's report, there's really no knowledge on the basis of this board that money was expected to be spent. So even though we now have the extra money to do it, the fact that it was not in the budget concerns me when it's that much money. So again, I'm having a little problem with the current, and this is not a personal reflection or anything, but I'm uncomfortable with the current spending authority I really think that these issues do need, if at all possible, even with the spending authority, I think it would have been better if this had been brought to us so that we could at least be aware of what was happening. You always take the chance, of course, that you're going to get a majority that says we don't want to do that. But if you go forward without taking that chance, I'm having a problem with that. I would really want to see a little more coming to us.
I would like to respond to that, and with all due respect, certainly, Director Howell, you prefaced your comments with the idea that there's a level of mistrust that's going on in the community right now. And while that is understandable, for mistrust to cause staff to make significant changes in what are our normal responsibilities, themselves delays efforts, they drive up district costs. And when the bottom line came to it, this is reported to your board, and it's reported today. The purchase order has not been awarded, and your board, through the reporting process that's standard, does have the opportunity to say that you would like to see this as an item on the agenda prior to moving forward. I think it's really important to distinguish the fact that staff does have certain jurisdiction, and we do have responsibilities to move forward on issues, especially when they're integral to, in this case, the regular coastal development permit. And we do inform you of efforts that we're moving forward on. This is the time that if your board wanted to have this scheduled as a future agenda item prior to the any purchase order being awarded, now is the time that's appropriate. So to change procedures, I don't think that would be wise in understanding that mistrust does exist. That's why it's included in the general manager's report, open for board discussion in the context of a general manager's report, but certainly open for a future agenda item if you so deem appropriate.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Perhaps I may not fully have understood the paragraph. So what I'm hearing you say is that money has actually not been expended, but are we not obligated to pay it?
Yeah, there's no purchase order. Okay. We've only received the proposal.
Yeah, they went out there on their own time.
That's what wasn't clear to me. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. That wasn't clear to me at all.
Yeah, Canon is not sending us a bill for that visit that they
thank
made.
You, because that really was all I was talking about. So, never mind.
Yes,
and as a closure to that, there isn't anything happening that would justify the idea that there is additional mistrust to be being generated by this, and I think that we need to be a little more careful about that kind of discussion happening until the process is maybe understood, because now the walk away that probably some folks will have with it is, oh, here's another one that, you know, they're out there doing things they're not supposed to, and there's a reason for the mistrust. So I think we need to start acknowledging the fact that we're moving fully forward in ethical ways and within the parameters of good execution, both in terms of district and business, you know, sense. And we really need to stop thinking and projecting the fact that there's nefarious things going on, my opinion.
Thank you. Director Rice.
Speaking to that, I think the discussion was good for clarity purposes regarding what's happening, but being on the board as long as I have been on the board, I think it's important we keep in mind the context of any work that goes on out there. We had violations. We are now under an order to close it. But we spent a lot of money to use it as a basin, hopefully, for the waste stream from the advanced water treatment plant. We spent a lot of money. The area there, the Coastal Commission calls it environmentally sensitive habitat. There's been different discussions on that. Right now, what it is the brine pond. If we can do anything to keep ourselves from having that money go completely down the drain, because we did spend money to build the pond. So anything we can do to help the environmental situation out there, in addition to helping our water situation and not letting the work that we, the money and work that went into building it, go to waste. I think that within that context, I actually was quite happy to hear that it had happened, even though it had already happened, because I think it speaks to the professionalism. And as much as people in this community are well-informed and involved in things, I also think it's important to remind ourselves that we five here are not the professionals. We are the elected officials, and we have to rely on our professionals to do their jobs. And I think we are on the path to getting where we have less issues regarding, well, what are they doing now? Because I think they are attempting to do the right things, and we will be able to move forward. So I just wanted to put that all in the bigger context of we've got to do something to keep from wasting the money and that went into that pond. So,
okay. Director Howell.
Yes, to very, very briefly, I really did not wish to imply in any way that this board is doing anything nefarious, you know, and nor do what I wish to say, though, is that we still have to know that that level of distrust is out there. And the way that we can fix that is to be trustworthy and to appear to be trustworthy. Now, I know we're trustworthy, but so my suggestion in the future would be, if it is at all possible, and it may not always be possible, to, if the public can in some way say, oh, where there's, I don't know, maybe it's not possible, but I'd just like to put that forward, that whenever you can let people know what's going on, I think there will be a very good payback to that effect.
That's point all. Well received.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. All right, moving on to the finance manager's report, and before you get started, let's have the questions from Ms. Bettenhausen first so that she can go from there.
That's intriguing to listen to. Thank you, Mr. President, and all assembled on that little discussion about mistrust and such. It's hard to break old habits that were nurtured by the environmental situation of CCSD, so we're working. We're trying to trust you. I guarantee you, you've got our best attempts in hand, I'm sure, but don't assume that minimal approaches or even moderate approaches will suffice, because there's too much to overcome. I'm very glad. I will certainly Google the regional water management strategies. I can do that like that. And it would help if it were caps at the beginning of each word, so I know it's a state law that was being referred to. You know? I love footnotes. I just am crazy about footnotes, so put them in. Let us know that you're doing your work, which I have no question that you're all doing. Let us know that you're doing it so that we don't have to assume inertia. I'd like to ask one question, therefore. How, and I have to say, I'm sorry, I've got to tell you what happened a year and 3 months ago when I was given the explanation to this question. Under previous staff, partially previous, I was told that every expenditure sort of floats around and gets stuck in, maybe. In other words, there was no procedure for saying, ooh, let's spend $10,000 on new railing paint, hypothetical. No procedure. It floated in from somewhere, the invoice showed up, and the finance manager put it down. And I was assured that that would change. so that every expenditure would be carefully monitored by supervisors before even reaching the finance manager. And therefore, we could not have any suspect expenditures perpetrated by the district. Hallelujah, sweet Jesus, and I love you, Allah. But that's not happened yet. Or maybe it has, and I just haven't found out. So fill me in. What was the process by which $13,000 plus went to the wood service people for picking up solids at the brine pond? I want to know. What was the procedure by which that got approved? And I'm not questioning the integrity or the capability of anybody on staff right now. I am not doing that, friends. I'm acting like what we call in a democracy, in a representative democracy, a reasonable person, to which I aspire and have done for 76 years. Please help me by giving me the information that's necessary in order to appear reasonably informed. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have another request, but it's for the manager, general manager, and we've moved on. We're on the finance manager's report now, Mr. Hendricks. So, no, she was speaking on the finance manager's report. So, we're moving on, Ms. Duffield. The floor is yours.
Would you like me to respond to West Coast Tree Service?
Yes.
Okay, we do have a contract in place with them for a total of $60,000, which we appropriately bid per our purchasing policy. And they are allowed to perform tree removal services and other services like they did at the SWF facility under their contract.
Okay. And could you clarify exactly what they took out of the pond? I mean, I know what it was, but
I don't know what it was.
I think that's what people are looking for.
You may recall that I reported on this when we actually hauled it off. We used our new dump truck, so it was to remind people that the dump truck was a valuable purchase for us. The first work that it performed for the district was to haul off the solids that had dried up from the evaporation pond, impoundment basin, brine pond.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So one addition to the report that was not written, because I wasn't aware of it until yesterday, we did receive the second of two that we were expecting in sales tax refunds from the SWF. We had hired DMA Consulting to do that research and homework for us, and so they were successful in getting us both of those sales tax refunds. So you will see the expenditure that we owe back to them off of that refund in the April expenditure report.
And how much is that that we're paying them to go after this money
we
for
pay
us?
Them 35% of what they recover, so that's roughly about $37,000 is what we will have to pay them. We will come out ahead by $68,000.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Director Rice.
I was a little confused by the answer. We have a new dump truck, but we paid this company to haul off solids, so I guess I didn't hear.
They did the work to fill up the truck.
I see.
And
so
then our CPO, Jim Green, drove it over to the Paso Robles dump and dumped it there.
That was the link that I missed. Thank you.
Okay.
Director Howell.
Just a couple of questions. Just kind of curious, sometimes this is really the only window that I really have into the operations of the district from month to month. On page 30, we have some refunds of unused transfer deposit for a wait list. Reading down, I didn't want to read out the person's name in public, but you see where I'm talking about. I'm just curious because we see the refund going out, and then we see some money coming back. So my only question is, what does that signify? What happened?
So the customer initially puts a deposit with us. It's usually $250 or $500, depending on their project. And we put it into a security deposit account. So what you're seeing here is a one-stop shop that we've started doing in finance so that the follow-up journal entry of moving it out of the security deposit account into the actual revenue account that it belongs in happens in one fell swoop. So you're just basically seeing the result of the in and out of the accounts. If you look to the far right, you'll see the charge accounts that it's coming in and out of, and then the customer gets the refund of the net of the
right. So a person puts some money in, and we refund a portion of that or whatever, and then we keep a portion depending.
Historically, it sat in the deposit account, and it was never reconciled. So I was trying to come up with a way to be a little bit more efficient and do it all in one swoop and not have anyone forget to go back and do that after the fact.
Great. Thank you. I just was kind of wondering what that signified. So now I understand. On page 31, I'm not sure what my question is. Some rather large credits. This is to Hatch Company down there about halfway down the page. We see some credits. I'm just kind of, again, wondering, as I see this money going in and out, kind of wondering what was going on as to why it's going in and out like that.
So we had a very large credit for an item that was returned that has been sitting on file since February of, I think it was last year, it might have been December of the prior calendar year. So I have been working with Hawk to recognize that credit and just get it on the books. It's just been sitting there. Invoices have been kind of offsetting the credit balance, and I just really don't like to do business that way. So this was my way to memorialize it in the system so that we could track the credit memo that existed and all the offsetting invoices.
Great. I mean, that's very good. This is not a criticism at all. I'm just trying to I like what you're doing, so it is helping to make things a little more apparent. Let me see here. I think for the rest is not that significant, so thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, thank you. We're discussing her report. We're not on the consent agenda yet. Okay, so that's okay. That's all right. That's probably a good time to ask that question. So do you want to address it now, or do you want to wait till?
This is regarding the finance manager's report.
Okay. It's actually expenditure report.
Finance manager expenditure. So okay. I just want to say that I had the same questions with regard to West Coast Tree Service and Hatch, so these have been answered. So I just wanted to let folks know, since I try to do this every month, that we're very fortunate that this past month of February, the amount of money that was spent on the Emergency Water Treatment Facility, otherwise known as the SWF, with regard to accounts payable, was about $38,500, and over half of that was to the State Water Resources Control Board for $20,500 for an annual permit fee. So there you are.
Good. Thank you. Any other comments for the financial manager? Director
Thank
Rice.
You. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're doing the proper reconciliation on credits and stuff. That's the right way to do it, and it's the right.
We still have a few more that I'm working on, but we'll get there.
Yes. Thank you. Moving along, we are now on the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to
approve? I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
All right. Anyone discussion? All right. Roll call vote, please.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Howe?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. All right. Vice President Farmer, you have some other comments you'd like to make before we adjourn?
I want to preface what I'm about to say with I was certainly a little bit ambivalent or reluctant to kind of approach this issue. It feels a little bit awkward, but I also feel that it's something that I need to do, and hopefully it's going to take about 5 minutes. So at the last meeting that we had on March the 5th, a member of the community got up and spoke in public comment and was basically addressing my comments with regard to the expenditures, the cost of the emergency water treatment facility, in other words, the SWF, for the month of January. And this person made the remark that my comments, and I quote, seemed intended to inflame. So at the end of the meeting, I kind of addressed that, said, well, no, I do this every month, and just trying to inform people as to the expenses for the district with regard to the water facility. So I figured I would just, you know, let it go at that. But then last night I said, well, you know, I'm just going to go back and watch this. So I went to the SlowSpan website and watched the comments from the member of the community and saw that, oh, maybe I needed to discuss this a little bit more. So one of the comments that the person made was that that what I did was basically perpetuate public confusion. That's certainly not my intention. I don't believe I'm doing that. perhaps it's, well, other people might do that, including some people that get up and speak in public comment. But also what was said at the end of the meeting, and I'm just going to read the remark. Let me see if I can find this real fast, and if not, I'm going to be slightly embarrassed. Because I know I had it right here in front of me. Now, I am kind of frustrated, but I had so much paperwork here in front of me to begin the meeting. Just give me a moment, okay? Because I feel like this is important for the district as well as for myself. And my apologies, especially since we have another meeting that we have to go to after this. Well, I seem to have lost what I was going to relate to, but the last comment that was made by this person was that I needed to tell the story. First, he said I was being, how can we say it? Financially irresponsible in how I was addressing the issue. I'm paraphrasing now because I unfortunately have misplaced the paper that I had. So that I was being financially irresponsible and ignorant, I'm paraphrasing, with regard to how I'm addressing the costs of the facility. And, you know, I'm no whiz-bang at finances. What I do, and I don't have the ability to kind of manipulate figures, I just go to the expenditure report every month and report what our finance officer has stated with regard to the cost. But the last thing that this individual said that that he felt was wrong was that I needed to, quote, tell the story with integrity. I just want to say that that's something I try to pride myself on in everything I do in my life, and I don't feel that that remark even deserves a comment. I'd like to also make one more comment with regard to this facility. At the February 28th meeting, a member of the public said that The six-month prepayment of the loan, which was part of the amount of the 460, whatever the amount was, that we paid in January. Quote, the six-month prepayment of the loan does not apply to the cost of the facility. And I was trying to just draw an analogy, and I was thinking about, well, so there's this couple, and the husband wants to buy a new car. Wife says, well, you know, honey, we're pretty tight on money. Can you justify it? So he gives, he makes a few comments, that type of thing, and she says, okay, but, you know, I may come back with some questions. So they go out, they buy the car. A year goes by, and the wife says, well, honey, how much did it cost this past year to operate this vehicle? And so he says, well, he says, let me work on it this weekend. He gets back to her, and he says, well, this is how much I paid for gas. Had an occasional oil change. That's how much this cost. Paid the monthly insurance claim, you know, car insurance. And, you know, had to pay the annual fee for vehicle registration. And he shows her the amount. She says, oh, that's great, honey. That's not too bad. But what about the $450 a month we pay to the bank to make sure they don't repossess the vehicle? So that's my analogy with regard to whether the payment to the bank to make sure that we ultimately purchase this facility that the bank owns, that's my analogy for that. And that's why it's included in the cost of the facility. Thank you.
All right. we are now going to adjourn just to let him.
Public comment on closed session? Is there public comment on closed session?
No. We're going to adjourn to closed session. For those of you who are here and watching on TV or whatever, this is going to be the new normal where we finish this kind of meeting to this point in the first session this week, and then we will re-adjourn next week at 2 o'clock, and we will get down to the rest of the agenda, which is basically the regular business. So we're now going to adjourn to closed session and continue to work on the general manager. So thank you.